गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुस्साक्षात् परब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। अखण्डमण्डलाकारम् व्याप्तं येन चराचरं यत्पदं दर्शितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
द रोल ऑफ इंडिया इन द कमिंग डेज इज समथिंग व्हिच दो एवरीबडी नोज none is taking an active interest nor trying to understand a real picture of the future role of India. Many of the masters we have read, especially the Indian masters, have a very pet saying of East meeting West, Prat Paschima Samanvayamu. What does this exactly mean if we can understand the role of India and thereby the role of ourselves, those persons who are interested in these activities will have a very clear-cut idea of what they are supposed to do. In the West and in India also, till 19th century, religion and spiritualism were only rituals for majority of the public, even though there was no depth of spiritual jains like Nanak, Kabir, Tukaram, Mirabai, Sakhubai, etc., etc., etc. The saints were there, the spiritual masters were there, but India was plagued with two invasions, one the Muslim invasion and the other the British invasion. And very interestingly, in both these religions we do not find a clear mention of rebirth, life after life. Even though a careful study of Bible and Quran reveals that they do have a concept of birth cycles, but the religion itself does not propagate it. This was very essential for Indian psychology, for Indian religionists, because the concept of karma and rebirth made majority of the Indians to become lazy, careless, and so careless and so regardless of their duties that whenever something has to be corrected, whenever something is going wrong, they always say it is the responsibility of the God. He has promised yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujamyaham. I incarnate whenever the need comes. So why should we worry? He will take care of it. If anything wrong is happening, we need not worry about it. This type of psychology has to be removed from the Indian mentality, and that was one of the reasons for these invasions. So that those who are invading may know the greatness of India, the maturity of Indian spiritualism, the patience of Indian religiousness, psychology, and more so the adaptability of Indian religious nature, wherein even Christ and Muhammad are treated as their avatars. The Indian religious concept is an all-pervading concept in which everything is engulfed. Any man comes with a spiritual background, automatically he becomes an avatar of Indian gods or goddesses. Until this point, it is okay. What about the common man? What about the ritualism? What about the worships? What about the temples? Only in one temple in 19th century we find God walking with the priest. You know who it is? Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. He was the priest of the temple, and the goddess there talked with him, laughed with him, helped him, moved with him. But what about other pujaris? Yes, there are few instances of Tukaram, Nanak, Kabir, but they were not purohits of a temple. So, this concept of divinity, where the temples are really devalayas. Alaya means a location, a place. Vidyalaya, where you study. Vaidyalaya, where you are treated. Devalaya, where you should get God. But now what happened? All the temples have become beggars' places. We go and beg. Whoever he may be, if he prays to God, he is only a beggar. But what does Christ say? What does the yogis say? They say, you need not beg God. You are his son. You are his prince. You are his heir apparent. Varasattva. That is what my guru, Pandit Sri Ram Sharma Acharya, used to say. So, when you are the heir apparent, when you are the legal heir for his powers, why beg God? It automatically comes to you. But suppose there is a very rich man and there is a good son and a bad son, in the general meaning to which it is attributed. What will the rich man do? He will give all his money to the good son and he will not give anything to his bad son. And the good son need not ask. He automatically gets it. So this concept of religion, where you need not beg divinity, you develop your qualifications, you raise your standards, and automatically the God flows into you, the divinity flows into you. This concept, even though he is in India, it was not a graded concept. A Kabir is there, he says he follow my method. Mirabai is there, she does not even say how to do it. You just pray to Lord Krishna and you will get it. Nanak is there. You are following the concepts I am trying to bring you. The religious masters are there, but there is no graded system of spiritualism which you can follow, which you can know, yes, I am at this stage, this is my master. I am at this stage, this is my master. Just as in our schools, in Vidyalayas, we have the elementary school teachers. They teach the elementary sections. Then the high school, then the intermediate, then the degree, then the university education. Similarly, the advent of this Western culture clearly brought to the Indian religious community the need of a graded hierarchical system of spiritual education. But even now the concept is not very clear. Even now the concept is not very clear because we don't know how to grade the masters. All the teachers, whether they teach the elementary school or the high school or the degree classes or the postgraduate classes, are master's degree holders. They have read equally. The standards are the same according to a prescribed university syllabus. But when they teach to the elementary school, the MA man brings himself down to that level. And in the post-graduation, he tries to make him a master of the subject. And after that, if anyone is indicated, interested, he will help in research also for newer knowledge. This concept has to be introduced in spiritualism, and only India can do that. Only India can do that because it has that hierarchy. From the avadhutas to the simple saints, the munis, the maunis. You understand the difference? Muni is the starting point, the Mahatma. He just has set his feet on the spot of spiritualism. And avadhuta, he has mastered everything. He has become a postgraduate. And he may want to teach or he may not want to teach. If he wants to teach, he becomes a guru. If he does not want to teach, he becomes an avadhuta. But even though he may not want to teach, but the knowledge is there. So he can go to a avadhuta and get the required knowledge, but he will not give it in a graded way or a natural way. He will talk some nonsensical words to others. But the man who wants that knowledge, he will get it. And even their lifestyles are very peculiar. They may go nude, they may be full of filth and dust, or they may wash or they may not wash. And a Mahatma is very meticulous on the starting point. He keeps silence, follows all the rules, A to Z. His entire life is tight, compartmentalized. Everything tight. So between these two extremes, the avadhutas on the upper end and the mahatmas on the lower end, we need a scale to measure the spiritual grandness or the spiritual attainment of the various masters. If Indian disciples, if the Indian votaries of religious or spiritual knowledge can do this, this will be the biggest service to humanity. And not only probably the biggest, the only service which humanity needs. Because humanity is meant only to realize God or the supreme goal or self-realization or whatever name you give it. But the votaries of spiritualism are now divided. Ramakrishna Mission people will not talk with Aravindo people. Aravindo society people will not speak with Yogada Satsang society people. Yogada Satsang society people will not talk about Siddhi Sai or Sat Sai. And Sat Sai, Siddhi Sai people are pushed away by CVV people. And CVV people do not know about Madam Blavatsky. Even though CVV, after a 12-hour meditation with Blavatsky, got this concept of meditation. Now you are understanding the role of India? It is actually not the role of India. Indian independence was brought by a handful of people. Or to be honest, only by one man. Or the insult given to one man. In South Africa, probably Dublin, I think. the town. Gandhi, the barrister, went into a first class compartment. Black people are not allowed. I don't know why Indians are called black people. We should call brown people. So the brown people are not supposed to enter a first class. He said, I have a ticket. You may have a ticket, you may buy it, but you cannot enter it. And he was thrown into the platform. That man decided that India must become free. And that one man could make India free. Probably India doesn't need freedom even now. But he could do it without our wanting it. You understand the point I am trying to make? So, even if majority of Indians don't understand it, even if many spiritual Jains don't understand it, even then it is our duty. Which type of duty? Self-chosen. We have chosen ourselves. That this is our duty, to have a graded spiritual development as clear-cut as the modern scientific education. So that is the role that we have to play. And when Gandhi wanted independence, what is the price he paid? Tan, man, dhan. You have to forego many comforts. We don't know, we have to spend our own money. But if you can understand the great goal that we have selected, are you able to understand the greatness of it? The beauty of it, the uniqueness of it, the clarity of that concept. Nowhere you will find this concept. I always used to think in my childhood, had I got this knowledge before, how easy it would have been for me to climb. But how to climb? That starts with responsibilities. A man who cannot share his responsibilities with his family members, with his colleagues, with his friends. You please understand what I am telling, the importance of it. The responsibilities have to be shared. A father earns and the family enjoys. That's not the spirit. You understand the point? You start with that. Understand the responsibilities and give your responsibilities your utmost. Then only you can understand this, how to grade the spiritual concepts. Because if you cannot grade your own responsibilities, you know what is a responsibility? A nature-given direction, a nature's orientation for your spiritual unfoldment. That is responsibility. That is how we should understand responsibility. Any responsibility as a father, as a mother, as a son, as a wife, all other relationships, as a friend, all these responsibilities are nothing but opportunities given by nature to develop spiritualism in you, or to use a modern concept, self-realization, to realize yourself. So a man who does not fulfill his responsibilities can never get self-realization. So this is the first point which you will have to tell people. But when I say you bear your responsibilities, immediately the problem comes. Just a few minutes back I told you, you have to give out everything for this cause. Tan, man, dhan. These three concepts. Your body, and then your mind, and then your resources. You have to completely throw into this cause. Then how to bear responsibility? You are following the thoughts? But attending to your responsibility is also a part of that grading system. That is what you should learn. That is how you should work. then immediately comes, why this responsibility for me? Why is it that my son is not hearing my words? Why is it my son-in-law, father-in-law, mother-in-law? Problematic relationship. Mother-in-laws and other-in-laws. Why is it that these relationships are always problematic? That is why I say many people want to explain that a mother-in-law is also a daughter-in-law first. Then she becomes a mother-in-law. But what did I say about responsibility? How did I define it? Responsibility is an opportunity of developing your spiritual realization. So mother-in-law is a role. So daughter-in-law is a role. How should daughter-in-law behave? As a daughter-in-law. And how should mother-in-law behave? As a mother-in-law. Therefore, when a daughter-in-law becomes a mother-in-law, she behaves like that. As simple as that. You understand the responsibility equation in this? Why I say responsibilities are very important? If a mother-in-law behaves like a mother, the relationship is gone. Suppose a villain in a picture suddenly becomes hero-like. The picture is flop. You are following the importance of relationships, responsibilities. This is what we have to teach. That is why in India there are no divorces. There is no family breaking. No going away, running away. You can't. You should not. Because that particular responsibility in that life is given because of your necessity of growth, as indicated by your previous life. Then how can a daughter-in-law leave her responsibilities? And how can a mother-in-law behave well towards her daughter-in-law like a mother? If she behaves, the growth will not be there. Suppose the sun is very hot and you feel that the paddy field is parching and you create a shelter for it, for a tree, what happens? The tree will not grow. The plants will not grow. You are understanding the logic? So this concept of responsibility. You say the child is not hearing my words. It is eating away my life. That is exactly what you did to your mother. Previously, these responsibilities were shared by a big family. There was a hierarchy, age groups, different aunts, relationships. So there were many people to take care of the children. There was no worry at all. And now there is a nuclear family. And the opposite to you is a nuclear family. They don't know how to raise children. And they don't know how to raise children. And the children go to dogs. You understand? The family concept is also important. That is why whenever I think, I always find Sri Ram Sharma as a genius. For everything he has a solution. He said, first you mold yourself and then you mold your family. And society is nothing but a unit of family. It is automatically molded. Where do you want social service? You do not need any social service. If you change yourself and your family, automatically society is changed. This is the concept. Basic concept which is required to grade spiritual development. I have not yet come to the spiritual development aspect. I am talking about the mundane affairs. Even that we are not doing it correctly. And again for this, you should have a capacity, yogyata, to do your daily duties. Nitya karma anushtana yogyata. That is the word the rishis have framed. You should have the ability to do your daily duties, I mean routine work. And this routine work, nitya karma anushtana yogyata siddhi ardham, what do you do? Sandhyavandana. That is the basis on which the entire spiritual tree grows. That is why when the Sandhyavandana is gone, Chine Mule Naiva Vruksho Nachakha. When the roots are gone, there is neither the trunk, nor the leaf, nor the leaf. Forget about the fruits. So that's the concept. Until the head of the family finishes his Sandhyavandan, food was not served. That was the concept. So you are understanding the fundamentals, the role of India. First one, the development of the family relationships. That is what I was telling. Responsibilities. The responsibilities of the family. And now we cannot change the families. Now many people ask me, then what should we do? We cannot stay together. It is becoming a hell. It will be a hell. Because they are not your real relationship. The parents, the brothers, the sister-in-laws, they are not the real relationships. They are paid relationships. You enter into a family not because of your past punya or your, what should I say, prarabdha, fate. But you enter because of the money you give. Money transaction is no more important in marriages, is it not? When money becomes more important, karma becomes useless. And naturally the children which come will not have any karmic links. And the evil continues. Break, 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 break. Now it has reached the last stages. We just can't help it. Then what did the gurus do? Gurus have a solution for everything. Then they started building their own parivars. Then marriage in Sai Parivar. That is more important. Marriages in Sri Ram Sharma Acharya or Gayatri Parivar. Marriages in Ramakrishna Paramahansa Parivar. Now you understand what is happening? The marriages are conducted not because of money or other things, but because both the parents are devoted to the same master. The boy belongs to a father who is a Shishya of the same Guru. And the daughter also, they don't know each other. But they are linked to the gurus. And when the link comes through the gurus, it is much more grander than the nature's decision. Because guru can overcome nature. You are trying to understand, that is the change that has come about. But again, it is not correct. People are marrying inside the guru's network. That concept is not also there. We have to regenerate or bring this concept. Am I clear? So I am talking about the fundamentals. I am yet to tell that actually the religious spiritual gradation is yet to come. But until and unless we manage these things, what is that? First of all, wherever you are, you try to give your best according to the responsibility given to you. If you are a teacher, teach well. But don't try to teach when the student is not interested. Clear? That is another wrong we do. In the same way, in the home, you try to teach your children, or parents, or someone. If they hear it, okay. If they don't hear it, no worry. But you don't change. You should have a very clear picture. Right? But I have to go. That's what I am trying to tell. To have a graded spiritualistic yardstick, you people have to learn, number one, responsibilities. Number two, family relationships in spiritual organizations, Sai family, Yogada family, Aravindo family. So there you will find your true karmic links. The modern families have no karmic links. They are only financially welded together, very loose joints, which can break at any instant. But still it is continuing in India is because of the past glory, not because of the karmic reaction. Because of the past glory, the momentum of the previous tradition is continuing it. Anugrah Nagar to be built where people of like-minded stay together, live together, eat together, intermarry, prepare a society which is in this world but not of the world. Just like oil on the surface of the water, it never mixes, but still water is there. So that concept I am still trying to build in Venugopal Nagar, where I am asking people to come over, have your own houses. But still there is the real links. But unfortunately, we are linking ourselves with our physical families and we are unable to recognize the spiritual bonds. Even though the affection is strong, the affection is self-evident, but we are not able to break over the ties of the earth and come together and live together in one particular colony, do your physical duties, do your physical work, do your job. But your affiliation and bonds lie with the spiritual family. And that spiritual family you can yourself select. You may belong to the Sai family. You may belong to the RK Mission family. I mean Ramakrishna Paramahansa family. And then Aurobindo family, CVV family, or what not. And what I am trying is spiritual family of all these together. Because spiritual masters are always interlinked. And Ramakrishna Paramahansa, because of some very urgent work in other planes, wanted to leave his body. That work has been shouldered by Shirdi Sai. They are all interlinked. So many times I have told you the interlinks of all these masters. But why can't we live like that? That is why I insist on you people living together. Come to you once the other's house, live as a family member. Not as a family member, but the bonds are more stronger. But unfortunately, we don't recognize it. But whether you recognize it or not, it is a fact. So move freely from one house to another house, friend's house. Just like we go to a friend's house very freely. We should go to our member's house very freely. That interlink, that is what I am trying to bring out. But I am not yet successful. It is not when I am present it should happen. It is not when the parent is there the children come together. But it is the children which should come together in the absence of the parent. Then only the concept has been properly ingrained. So these are the first steps. Live together. Live in harmony. Be together. Don't neglect your relationships either in the educational one, job oriented or family oriented. I am talking only about responsibilities. I am not talking about the love being shared. You cannot. In families there is no love. There can't be a love. But that doesn't mean there can be, there cannot be a love, because there may be some links where love may be generated, but that is the reality. So with this concept I stop for today. But I have not yet come to the real role of Indian youth in building up a graded spiritual education.